Welcome to the NTEB Prophecy News Podcast with your host and Bible teacher, Jeffrey Greider. Rightly divided, dispensationally correct, and standing on the authority of the King James Holy Bible, this program is brought to you by NowTheEndBegins.com.
And good afternoon and happy Monday, everybody, and welcome to this edition of the Prophecy News Podcast. On this episode, we're about 2 weeks away from the official and highly anticipated Pentagon report on UFOs, or as they like to call them, unidentified aerial phenomena. The latest wrinkle in this ongoing and stunning development is video of UFOs that are transmedium, meaning that they can fly in outer space, they can fly over our heads, and without missing a beat, they can dive underwater and travel at speeds of over 230 miles per hour underwater. Let that, pun intended, sink in for a moment. Are you ready for the return of the fallen angels and the Genesis 6 giants? You better be, because here they come. The U.S. Navy has picked up sonar data showing mysterious fast-moving objects underwater that cannot be explained by the experts or current technology. Washington Examiner's Tom Rogan said that the U.S. Navy has the data to prove the bizarre encounters. Some of these encounters could be included in the government task force, which is prepared to brief Congress on its UFO findings next month. Habakkuk chapter 1, verse 5, "Behold ye among the heathen, and regard and wonder marvelously. For I will work a work in your days which ye will not believe, though it be told you." Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness and your mercy. We thank you, God, for all these that you've gathered here live in the chat room. And it's so good to be reunited online after a 3 or 4 day break for our incredible camp meeting weekend. And Lord, we give you much praise and much thanks and all of the honor and the glory for working out every single bit of this weekend from start to finish, from A to Z, from Alpha to Omega. And that's exactly who you are, Lord. You are the beginning and the end, the first and the last. You're Alpha and Omega. And Father God, we give much thanks and praise for everyone who could make it out, for everyone who couldn't make it, and prayed, Lord, that the weekend would go well. It could not have been a better weekend. And Lord, we just come before you today, reunited as a church family with a full heart, with a grateful heart, Lord. And God, thank you, thank you, thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, good afternoon, everybody. I see in the chat room a lot of questions about the weekend. The weekend was amazing. And if you were there, you saw an incredible work of the Holy Spirit and the Bible taught Jesus Christ high and lifted up. And we just had a really, really good time as a church family. And it was so great getting to meet everybody that I only ever have known from the chat room. And it was just a good, good, good time. R.R. Ryder, he volunteered his photographic services. And he took a lot of really, really good pictures. And I'm going to post a couple of those into the chat room right now. And for those of you who are listening who are not in the chat room, I'll be doing an article later this afternoon, and I'll have all these pictures in that article so that you can see it for yourself. But it was a great time. It was a fantastic time in the Lord. On Friday, we opened up the NTEB Bible Believers bookstore, and that was just an incredible blessing. And so many of you came out and purchased books and prayed and just wanted to come by and say hi and shake hands and give a hug. And people came from as far away as Idaho and right below the Canadian border and from dozens of different states. And we were just so thrilled to see everybody. And it was just, man, I wish we could do something like this every 6 months. I really, truly do. You can see if you're in the chat room right now, I am posting pictures from the street preaching. I'm posting pictures from the bookstore opening. I'm posting pictures from the old-fashioned camp meeting revival. And it was just really, really good stuff. And again, much thanks and appreciation to R.R. Writer for taking these pictures and making these pictures available to me today. And I really appreciate that. If you don't live local, but you would like to check out the new NTEB Bible Believers bookstore, just go to BibleBeliever.com and that will take you right there. Just go to BibleBeliever.com and that will take you right to our bookstore. And like I said, I'm going to be posting an article a little bit later in the day, and I'm going to be putting some videos in there. I'm going to be putting some more photos in there, and I just want to share with everybody what a good time that we had in the Lord. There were lots of people who came out for the street preaching. There was a lot of people who came out for the street preaching on yesterday, people who had never been exposed to old-fashioned street preaching. The Gospel of Luke in chapter 12 says, "Go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in that my house might be full." And that's exactly what the Bible shows us. The Bible shows us old-fashioned street preaching. That's what we see. Jesus was a street preacher. Paul was a street preacher. John, Matthew, Mark, they were all street preachers. And it was so great yesterday. We had probably about 15 of us, and it was just great. We were preaching and soul winning and handing out gospel tracts, and we probably handed out about 500 or 600 gospel tracts in the 2 hours that we were doing it. And it was just, again, it was just such a good time, and I loved exposing fellow brothers and sisters in the Lord to the experience of street preaching, because if you've never done it, there is nothing like it. You get prayed up, you fill your pockets full of gospel tracts, and you go out to the streets and you tell lost people about Jesus Christ. And there's no real trick to it. That's what you have to do. You just look them in the eye. If you love lost people, if you have a heart for lost people, and you have some gospel tracts and maybe a scripture sign, and you can just go out and tell people, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And if you can do that, you can street preach. So there you go. I just wanted to share about 6 or 7 photos with you. I will be sharing some videos. I will be sharing some more pictures when we do an article a little bit later in the day today. But again, I just loved meeting everybody. It was such a thrill for me to meet a sister, Marie Comfort, and she was just such a blessing, and her eyes, she's 85 years old, and her eyes were sparkling like a teenager, and her face was just glowing. She was so happy to be there, and I was thrilled to meet her, and Dana, and Chris, and Jeffrey, and Marie, and so many people. I've can't remember all the names, but the faces and the smiles burned in my brain from here to eternity. And again, I thank you so much for praying for this weekend, for supporting this ministry. For those of you who came, for those of you who stayed behind and prayed, truly, we are a church family. We are a global family of Bible believers. And it was a great reunion this weekend. I prayed for many, many months that God would show up and that God would do something. And God did something. Absolutely right. And this weekend, maybe on Wednesday night during the Bible study, I'll play some clips and really tell some more of the behind-the-scenes stories, a couple things that will just amaze you what God did this weekend. Luke 14:23, "And the Lord said unto the servant, Go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled." Amen. That's what street preaching is all about. All right, with that, we've got to get started with today's Prophecy News podcast. We've been talking a lot about UFOs lately. We've been talking a lot about Genesis 6 giants. One of the preachers who was on the platform on Saturday was a pastor by the name of Joel Tillis from Suncoast Church in Palmetto, Florida. Pastor Joel, his area of expertise has to do with the Genesis 6 giants and the fallen angels. And if you go to YouTube, Pastor Joel has a fantastic YouTube channel called The Soul Trap. If you're on YouTube, make sure you check out a couple of episodes. Pastor Joel Tillis in Suncoast Church, The Soul Trap. And he talks all about aliens and the graves and incursions and the Genesis 6 giants and the fallen angels. And we had a great open forum panel discussion. That's how we closed the camp meeting on Saturday. And Pastor Joel and I just sat on the podium just side by side in folding chairs, holding microphones, and we took questions, and we have all that recorded. We will be making those videos available as soon as possible. But it was a blessing to have Pastor Joel with us from Suncoast Church. It was a blessing to have Derek Dees. He's the carpenter who built the shelves that we have in the bookstore, and he gave a very powerful personal testimony, and he preached a little bit, and he was a big, big, big blessing. Again, we have all these things on video, and we will be making these videos available. But I highly urge you, if you're on YouTube, I highly urge you to go to The Soul Trap, Pastor Joel Tillis from Suncoast Church, and you will absolutely get a blessing from what he talks about. He's a fantastic preacher. He's a rightly divider. He's King James only, and he's dispensationally correct. And he preaches with Holy Spirit power. And it was a blessing for me to sit there and just soak up some of that preaching. And it was very, very much appreciated. So if you're on YouTube, check out Pastor Joel Tillis, The Soul Trap. And in the not too distant future, Lord willing, he's going to have me on as a guest, and we're going to talk about these things. But I would love it if you guys would support his ministry. Pastor Joel Tillis, The Soul Trap. All right, with that, let's get right into today's program. UFOs. It's called transmedia. That's a word that you might want to write down, and you might want to get used to wrapping your ears around that word. Now, why have I been telling you guys to memorize Habakkuk 1:5? Habakkuk 1:5 in your King James Bible says, "Behold ye among the heathen, and regard, and wonder marvelously, for I will work a work in your days which you will not believe, though it be told you." That day is happening right here and right now. And things are going on to such a degree that from our perspective, people who love Bible prophecy, this is literally like a dream come true. And we've been talking about these things for years and years and years and years. And now these things are beginning to come to pass. And we are just 2 weeks away on June 6th. The Pentagon, they are obligated. If you remember last December, President Trump, he signed as part of the COVID relief package that he signed. It calls for the Pentagon to release what they have about UFOs 180 days after the signing of President Trump's $2.3 trillion COVID relief package. Well, in 2 weeks, June 6th, that's 180 days. And the Pentagon is going to be releasing some stuff. Now, somebody asked me earlier today, is this going to be an unbelievable revelation? Or for those of you who remember Geraldo Rivera from the 1980s, and if you remember, he had a camera crew, and they had found the vault of Al Capone. And people had said that there was gold bricks in there, and there was boxes of money and all sorts of stuff. And you remember that Geraldo Rivera, famously or infamously, he had the cameras rolling when they opened up the wall to Al Capone's vault. And what was inside? Nothing was inside. And that's how Geraldo Rivera started his career. And somebody was asking me today, is it going to be like that? Is it going to be like this stupendous revelation? Or is it going to be like the opening of Al Capone's vault? And I don't have an answer for that. I honestly don't know. But if you look at how everybody is preparing you to receive these UFOs and these space aliens, and if you look at everything that's been going on in 2020 and throughout the first 5-6 months of 2021, I can't imagine that it would be like Al Capone's vault. I think it's going to be pretty good, because the stuff that they have already released in terms of video and audio has been very, very good. So even from just that perspective, it's not going to be a bust. How much are they going to show us? I don't know. We're going to have to wait and find out. But I think it's going to be pretty good. I really, really do. All right. So I want to play a couple of clips for you today, because it's important that we listen to some of the backstory of what's going on. And in just a little bit, we are going to go all the way back to 1942, 5 years before the crash in Roswell. We're going to go all the way back to the height of World War II in 1942, and we're going to learn about something called Foo Fighters. And Foo Fighters were the first time, right during the height of World War II, Foo Fighters is what they called the unidentified flying objects that were up in the clouds with the Army Air Force pilots. And they didn't know what to call them. They didn't call them UFOs. They called them Foo Fighters. And we're going to listen to some things about Foo Fighters from 1942. And you're going to see that they've been preparing us to receive these people for a long time, for a long time now. So here, I want you to listen to this clip, Tucker reacting to footage of a spherical UFO that was captured by the Navy. Take a listen to Tucker reacting to footage of a spherical UFO captured by the Navy as it went into the water. So today's program is different from the last couple of programs that we did, because we're going to be focusing on transmedia vehicles that are able to fly over your head, dive down into the water, and travel at hundreds of miles per hour. That's what we're talking about today, and that's pretty exciting. So take a listen to Tucker.
We've interviewed a number of experts on the show, people familiar with footage in the possession of the U.S. military, who have said there is tape out there of unidentified flying objects descending from the sky and then disappearing into the ocean. Well, today, that video emerged. The Pentagon has just confirmed that the footage is real. You're seeing it now on your screen. It was taken by the Combat Information Center aboard the USS Omaha on July 15th, 2019, off the coast of San Diego. As far as we know, the UFO in question was never recovered. There was no material indicating a crash. More than that, we don't know. Tom Rogan is a Washington Examiner columnist, well-versed in the subject. He joins us tonight. Tom, what do you think we're looking at here?
Well, I think we may well be looking at a true unknown, which is to say, intelligently controlled machinery that is not understood to be in the possession of the United States, China, or Russia, which are the three most advanced countries in terms of military aviation. And so, you know, the video in and of itself is limiting what it can tell us, but I think it speaks to, as the Pentagon itself has admitted, this continuing trend of truly unexplained things coming into the public consciousness more than they have before.
if you listen to this with the sound up, you can hear the guys who are monitoring this video in real time gasp when it seems to disappear beneath the waves. So this kind of takes the weather balloon off the table or some meteorological phenomenon off the table. I mean, clearly we're looking at something that is, as you just put it, being intelligently controlled, and it's going underneath the ocean and then disappearing. I mean, we're sure that this could not be a foreign nation in control.
Yeah, that is why you see people like Senator Rubio leaning into the subject. The military, Office of Naval Intelligence, which really leads the military effort researching this. There isn't anything that we have, top secret information, about what China or Russia have or what we have at Area 51 that can do what these things do in terms of the variable performance. And I think specifically relevant to this video, in the coming months and years, an area which we will learn more about is the interaction of U.S. Navy submarines, nuclear ballistic missile submarines and attack submarines, picking up sonar contact of things moving at hundreds of knots under the water. And so there is a undersea dimension to this that the Navy has sort of pushed off to the side as the pilots talk more about their experiences. So there's a lot more to come out, I think, is the best way to put it.
Hundreds of knots underwater. I mean, I think all of us can imagine objects moving at incredible speeds in the air.
So we'll just stop Tucker right there for a second. I want you to really focus on what that man said. That these objects, these transmedia crafts that can fly in outer space, they can fly over our heads, and then they can do a deep dive like a seagull going after a fish, break the plane of the water, go underneath the water like a submarine, and then be recorded on U.S. Navy sonar traveling at hundreds of knots per hour. So if you say 200 knots, that's 230 miles per hour. As Stevic just said, this is like the Marvel comics. Well, that's exactly what it's like. This is where we are. We are at a place now where amazing leaps in technology is being presented to us. And this is not technology that America has. This is not technology that China has. Russia definitely doesn't have this technology. There's no other country on the face of the earth besides America that could possibly have this technology. And it's not our technology. Now, when you think about how fast an F-17 or an F-35 fighter jet can go, and when our pilots are coming across these flying tic-tacs, which is what the pilots call them because they look like a tic-tac, when our pilots come across these crafts, these transmedia crafts, they can't even come close to catching up with these things. And the times that they do, like you've seen those videos where the pilot gets a radar lock on one of those tic-tacs, it's almost like the aircraft is allowing our pilots to catch it because it only locks on for a few seconds and then it flies out of range. So this is where we are right now. 2 weeks away from the Pentagon report, and what are we seeing? Not just reports of UFOs and not just reports of things flying in the sky, but now these flying objects can deep dive into the ocean, and then our submarines catch them traveling at hundreds of knots per hour. That is absolutely, I mean, I can't wrap my head around that, but I absolutely do believe that. So let's just listen to the rest of this clip from Tucker.
Maybe even approaching, the speed of light, potentially, but hundreds of knots underwater. I don't think most people can even digest that. That's been recorded?
That's what I've heard from sources, very good sources, and that the Navy has the data. And one of the big things, Tucker, that I think as we move towards this Director of National Intelligence report, and I do know that the various agencies are actually taking that more seriously than people might expect, as is DNI, one of the things we're going to find is that over a period of decades, a lot of the data A lot of the measurement of these things has been put off as technical aberration or essentially a data malfunction, because they didn't want to really admit that something very serious and special is going on.
I mean, some of this behavior challenges our understanding of physics, so I think this is going to, it's going to change a lot of perceptions. Tom, I appreciate it. I hope we'll see you again soon.
Thanks, Tucker.
Hey, Sean Hannity here. Hey, click here to subscribe to Fox.
So Tucker says that these things that are happening now are starting to challenge our understanding of physics. And that's a really, really good statement. And I think a lot of things are on the verge of beginning to change. And we are about to, you know, Chuck Missler started Blue Letter Bible. He was a King James only guy. Chuck Missler, if you ever have time, go online and check out some of the things that Chuck Missler believed. He was a rocket scientist before he became a preacher and a Bible teacher and a pastor. And Chuck Missler believed that this world was very, very, very much like a digital simulation. And he has some great videos. And if you have time, go to YouTube and check out some of those videos from Chuck Missler talking about digital simulations. And be, you know, because of his incredible background as a rocket scientist, he can speak in very authoritative terms and ways, and he mentions all these things that have to do with science and biology and physics and all these things. But if you can check out those videos that Chuck Missler made about a digital simulation, it will be a blessing to you. Somebody in the chat room, I forget who, Estevic says, isn't this all about explaining away the rapture of the church that is surely coming? Absolutely right. We did an article last week on May 14th. We did an article, Space Alien Theorists and the New Age Movement are right now preparing post-rapture deception that UFOs caused the worldwide coming disappearance. A chilling statement on May 10th, 2021 in the U.S. Sun by Steve Bassett, a UFO lobbyist, referring to the soon-to-be-released report from the U.S. Intelligence Agency, along with other departments of defense, was the following. Humanity may just be weeks away from finding out the truth about UFOs and potential aliens. This would be the most profound event in human history. Bassett goes on to say, we may be in the last days of the truth embargo. And that's exactly where we are. And the entire world is gearing up for a paradigm shift. In March of 2020, we had a huge paradigm shift. The world went on lockdown. 15 days to flatten the curve turned out to be about 14 months. And only just now are states starting to come back online and lockdowns beginning to lift. So 15 days to flatten the curve was nearly 15 months, and that was an enormous paradigm shift. And then everything shifted again with the release of the vaccines and the vaccine passport. We're getting ready to do a report now on the unbelievable side effects that are plaguing tens of thousands of people right now. And over 1,000 people have died after receiving the COVID vaccine. And we're going to be talking about that in an upcoming broadcast. We are on the cusp of another paradigm shift, and that's going to be happening very, very, very soon. It might be happening on June 6th, and we will be covering all that in real time for you. Listen to this clip about the man that sparked Steven Spielberg's interest in UFOs. And if you remember back in the 80s, maybe it was the 70s, huge movie. Was it the 80s? No, it had to have been the 70s. I think it happened while I was still in high school. Steven Spielberg released in Close Encounters of the Third Kind. Well, this clip is about the man that inspired Steven Spielberg to make Close Encounters of the Third Kind. Take a listen to this.
In response to a surge of sightings in the late 1940s, the U.S. Air Force launched an official investigation into the UFO phenomenon. In 1952, Project Blue Book was founded. Its mission? To analyze the UFO mystery and determine its threat to national security. Overseeing the investigation was Dr. J. Allen Hynek, whom Spielberg would eventually hire as a key technical consultant for his movie.
At the beginning of my father's involvement with Project Blue Book, he was a diehard skeptic. He thought it was nothing more than a post-war fad, post-war nerves, and he was very happy to shoot down all these reports.
As an eminent scientist and astronomer, Hynek was the natural choice for filtering out astronomical phenomena from alleged UFO sightings. But what began as a seemingly simple assignment would soon become an obsession and transform Hynek's life forever.
My father felt very strongly that there was a need to have a classification system because my father was a scientist. And the scientific method involves classifying things so that you can either reproduce them or have somebody else analyze them from a clinical point of view.
It was Hynek who came up with the classification system for UFO sightings that would become the title of Spielberg's movie, inspiring a generation of writers, artists, and scientists.
Encounters of the first kind simply involve sightings of strange objects in the sky.
A witness sees some type of craft close enough to make a real strong impression upon them.
However, close encounters of the second kind involve some kind of tangible proof.
Not only seen something, but could feel something.
Radioactive soil, a sunburned face.
So that was a physical experience.
A close encounter of the third kind is where there's actual sighting of some type of creature.
A close encounter of the third kind would be the crowning achievement of contact with an extraterrestrial civilization.
So there you have it. J. Allen Hynek was the man who was in charge of Project Blue Book, and that became Project Blue Beam, and we'll talk about that later as well. But J. Allen Hynek was the man that Steven Spielberg hired to oversee the making and to be a consultant on Close Encounters of the Third Kind. Close encounter number one is you see a UFO flying overhead. Close encounter of the second kind is when you have some sort of interaction with that. You can see burn marks on the ground or a crop circle or something of that nature. Close encounters of the third kind is interaction with whoever is flying the craft. And I believe that we are very, very, very close to not only a close encounter of the third kind. I would say that they, and I don't know if they have a designation for close encounter of the fourth kind, but my definition of close encounter of the fourth kind would be when these creatures get out of their craft and we see them live on television, maybe giving a speech to Congress. And I think that's how things are going to go. I think that's the way that everything is heading. And you have to remember one thing. Turn to Matthew chapter 24. Turn to Matthew chapter 24. And Jesus says that the days of Noah are going to be like, that the time of Jacob's trouble is going to be like the days of Noah. And we know that the days of Noah start in Genesis chapter 5. Matthew 24:36 says, "But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, giving and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark." Now, look at verse 36. "But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven." Why do you think that that information is being kept from the angels of heaven? because the days of Noah have to do with fallen angels. So God's not going to allow other angels to have that information, because the fallen angels are getting ready to make a reappearance on the earth. Isn't that interesting? But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven. Why would Jesus be pointing that out? Because, as we heard from Pastor Joel on Saturday afternoon during our open forum discussion on fallen angels, we are about to enter into a time of angelic activity, be they good angels or be they bad angels. And the Bible says that the angels of heaven will not know the day and hour, because it is going to involve fallen angels. And God wants to keep that information from all of the angels. Who knows? There might be a few more traitors left in the ranks, because you will notice that that in the book of Revelation, that Satan takes down a third of the angels, and in Revelation 9:15. Nope, that's not that. I can't put my finger on the verse right away, but maybe somebody will post that in the chat room, where Satan gets a third of the angels to fall with him. And that is an event that is yet future. That has not happened yet. And in Revelation 12:7, it says, "And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought, and his angels." So the Bible shows us a time of angelic activity. And there's going to be fallen angels, there's going to be God's angels, and there is going to be absolute war. And for those people who will be alive on the earth at that time, they are going to see those angels with their eyes. How incredible is that? Revelation chapter 12 shows us the battle of the angels, God's angels, Michael and his angels, against Satan and his angels. And a lot of that war is going to be visible by the people who are alive here on planet Earth. And that's going to be an amazing, amazing thing. One of the reasons why I won't take the vaccine, one of my many reasons why I will not take the COVID vaccine, is because I have no idea what that vaccine is going to do when they turn it on. And I believe that there is something in that vaccine, not the mark of the beast, because you can't have the mark of the beast without the beast. And Antichrist has not shown up yet. But I believe that there is something in that vaccine that they can control through computers. And I believe, and I have no idea what it is, but there is something in that vaccine that they can turn on, and it's going to change people. It's going to change the way people think. It's going to change the way people behave. Remember, Moderna said that the mRNA vaccine that they make is software for an operating system. What does software do? Software gives instructions to hardware. That's the whole point behind software. My computer runs on Windows 10 software. It's an operating system. And that software is installed into hardware. And then the software tells the hardware what to do, based on the input by who's controlling the keyboard. And in much the same way, I think that whatever's in those vaccines, just like Moderna said, and I take them at their word and I believe them, I believe that all these vaccines absolutely are software. And the hardware is your flesh and bones. The hardware is your DNA, your circulatory system, your brain, your organs. And They are very bold. They have no problem telling you that these vaccines are software for an operating system. So what does that tell me? That tells me that once this software is installed, at some point, they're going to flip a switch and they're going to turn it on. And you're going to see all sorts of crazy things and people doing crazy, nutty things. And it's not just going to be side effects from the vaccine. That's a completely different category. People with the bruises and the sores and the scabs and the lesions. People paralyzed from their neck down to their feet. People having a cardiac arrest and heart failure. People having breathing difficulties and emphysema and all these different things. Those are side effects, but the actual effect of these vaccines, I believe, just like they say, it is software for an operating system, and I do not want to be in a position where I have that garbage inside my body, and then they're going to get ready, and they're going to flip the switch, and then it's going to be really, really, really bad. So that's why I won't people ask me all the time, they say, should I take the vaccine? And my answer is the same as it always has been. You pray and you ask God to give you wisdom and knowledge and understanding. You ask the Holy Spirit to lead you and guide you. When I did those things, when I prayed and said, God, show me what this thing is all about, it didn't take all that long for him to answer. And I made up my mind pretty quickly. And I will not take the vaccine. Not at all, not one bit, not one tiny bit. Not for any reason. If you ever hear that I took the vaccine, whoever told you is lying. So, getting back to today's program, we are talking about UFOs. We listened to Tucker reacting to footage of spherical UFO captured by the U.S. Navy. We listened to a short clip about J. Allen Heinrich, the man who was in charge of Project Blue Book for the U.S. government. And his work inspired Steven Spielberg to make Close Encounters of the Third Kind. Have you ever stopped to think about how many modern, up-to-date alien movies that we have? Awakenings, Knowing, Close Encounters of the Third Kind, 2012. There are so... what is that one with Bruce Willis with the meteorite? But that's not really a UFO. But there are so many modern movies that have been preparing us mentally for the day when these creatures just step out of these crafts and here they are. Now, you know that they're not coming in peace. So we can take that off the table right away. We know that when the fallen angels showed up in Genesis chapter 6, that they were bad news. And if you read just the first couple verses of Genesis chapter 6, you see how quickly the entire world went wicked after those fallen angels showed up. Genesis chapter 6, verses 1 through 6. Genesis 6, 1 through 6. And it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men that they were fair, and took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he is also his flesh. Yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days. And also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children unto them, the same became mighty men which were of old, men of renown. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And then, of course, verse 7, God says, I will destroy man who I have created. And the only people that God does not destroy is Noah and his family. They are the only ones that are not tainted by the fallen angel DNA. Everybody else gets wiped out. Now, somebody asked me a couple weeks ago, if these are fallen angels from Genesis chapter 6, and if Matthew 24 says that the time of Jacob's trouble will be like the days of Noah, and if what we're seeing now is the preparation of the return of the fallen angels, then why do we see them in spacecrafts? Do fallen angels need to have UFOs to travel in? The answer is no, they do not. So why have they gone through all this trouble to create these tic-tacs and ovals and spacecrafts and these things that fly in outer space and they dive down deep into the water? If these fallen angels don't need these things, then why are they presenting these things to us? Because Matthew 24, verse 3, and as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. So Jesus says that the entire time of the time of Jacob's trouble, which starts at the rapture and goes all the way to the second coming, Jesus said that the first and foremost sign is going to be deception. Matthew 24:4, and Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. And that's exactly where we are now. We are in a time of unparalleled and unbelievable, unmitigated deception. And all these entities are doing their best to deceive us. But of course, if you're born again and you have the Holy Spirit of God, on Saturday with our panel on angels and giants, we talked about, somebody asked a question, can Christians be abducted into spacecrafts? And the conclusion that we came to is no, they cannot. And one of the reasons how we came to that conclusion is the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 6:20, for ye are bought with a price. 1 Corinthians 7:23, ye are bought with a price, be not ye the servants of men. And if you're born again, Jesus Christ has purchased you. You have been redeemed. You cannot be the property of a space alien. You cannot be the property of a fallen angel. You remember with the maniac of Gadara, and he had a legion of devils inside him. And then Jesus showed up and he cast those devils out of the maniac. And those devils asked if they could be put into the herd of swine, and then they cast themselves into the sea, which is exactly why we see in Revelation 13, we see the dragon coming up out of the sea. Because that's where they like to go. One of these days, we will do a Bible study on things that come up out of the ocean and things that come down from the deeps. And I think a really good in-depth Bible study on that would be very edifying. But suffice to say, it is not possible for a fallen angel to take possession of a blood-bought, born-again, blood-washed, redeemed saint of Jesus Christ. And so this is how we see all these things going. Now, let's take a listen to this clip. I had told you at the start of this broadcast, we were going to talk about something called Foo Fighters. Now, of course, there's been a band for the last couple of decades called the Foo Fighters. But the term Foo Fighters, and this is where the band got it from, the term Foo Fighters goes back to 1942. And when U.S. pilots were up in the sky doing battle with the Nazis, with them up in the clouds was something that they could not explain. It was these flashes of white lights. There was these blinking orbs that traveled with the pilots during World War II up in the clouds. And they had no idea what to call them. They thought that perhaps it was some advanced Nazi technology, because the Nazis absolutely had advanced technology. Steve Quayle has written an excellent book about the Nazis and what they did in Antarctica. And we sell that at the bookstore. Just go to BibleBeliever.com. And if you go to BibleBeliever.com, it's a book called Empire Beneath the Ice. And that's by Steve Quayle. And it shows what the Nazis knew and all sorts of technology that the Nazis had. And on a future broadcast, we're going to talk about the things that are hidden in Antarctica. And but this book, Empire Beneath the Ice, you should really, really check that out. So these things were called Foo Fighters. That's what the Pentagon called them. They didn't know what to call them. So that's simply the name that they came up with. It was called Foo Fighters, and it goes back to 1942. 1942. UFOs in America go back to 1942 with the appearance of the Foo Fighters that allowed Allied planes during World War II, that followed Allied planes during World War II, and they could not be caught. Now, 6 months, and you're going to hear this in this clip, 6 months after the end of the Foo Fighters, America launched the first atomic bomb, and there were notes that were preserved that would lead you to believe that some of the technology that we had to develop the atomic bomb, some of the technology that the Nazis had, was extraterrestrial technology. So let's take a listen to this. Was President Roosevelt in possession of extraterrestrial technology? This is fascinating. Take a listen to this.
December 13th, 1944. Commander of Allied forces in Europe, Dwight Eisenhower, nearly a decade before he's elected president, issues a press release acknowledging that unidentified objects are interacting with Allied planes called Foo Fighters.
Foo Fighters is the name given to strange balls of light that were seen by pilots during the Second World War. Now, if you actually drill down into some of the detailed reports, you see very clearly that some pilots were talking about structured craft. There were sightings from US and UK pilots. So, of course, the thinking was at first this was some sort of Axis secret weapon. Maybe the Nazis or the Japanese had developed something.
Some of these lights would get close enough that they actually seemed to cause engine malfunctions and disturbances until they would move away and often just shoot up into the sky. So the question is, what were these things? To this day, there's not a really clear explanation as to what they were.
With the first sightings of the Foo Fighters, the British, the Americans, they all thought it would be enemy technology. And that scared them because they couldn't outmaneuver these, nor did they have any defense and couldn't shoot them down.
General Eisenhower's office, the Supreme Headquarters, issued a statement that was published in the New York Times stating that the so-called Foo Fighters have created a great deal of concern. It is possibly a new German weapon. At this point, we don't know, but we are taking it seriously, and we're looking into it.
Now, with Eisenhower, and the press release that mentioned that the Foo Fighters remained unexplained. That is arguably saying, whatever we're dealing with here, it's real. Now, of course, unexplained doesn't automatically mean it must be extraterrestrial, but nonetheless, it's a fascinating admission.
It seems obvious that Roosevelt would be aware of some of these UFO issues. They would be potentially important if they were enemy weapons. The question is, what did he think about it?
UFO investigators believe the president's thinking is made clear in yet another astonishing memo, never before seen on national television, that he wrote just 2 days after the Battle of LA. It speaks about atomic secrets learned from study of celestial devices and material in possession of the army that may be of great significance toward the development of a super weapon of war.
The phrase that Roosevelt used in that memo where he describes the necessity or the value in creating a super weapon of war. Of course, we were developing the atomic bomb at that very time. When we're talking about material possession by the army, we're talking about possession of non-human technology.
Did President Roosevelt keep the truth about UFO encounters from the American people in the name of national security? Researchers say yes, and point to perhaps the most important evidence yet uncovered. A classified memo written by Roosevelt in February 1944, 2 years after the LA events, a previously unknown committee on non-terrestrial science and technology, in which he agrees that non-terrestrial know-how in atomic energy must be used in perfecting super weapons of war to effect the complete defeat of Germany and Japan. Roosevelt also wrote that we should take every advantage of such wonders that have come to us. And he acknowledges the reality that our planet is not the only one harboring intelligent life in the universe.
So Roosevelt said that we should take full advantage of this wonderful extraterrestrial technology that has come to us. And all through the 1940s and 1950s and then going into the 60s and 70s, UFO culture came seemingly out of nowhere. And then it became huge. But did the White House know about these things long before the general public started to get a clue? Well, according to these memos, they absolutely did.
The double top secret memo, in which he explicitly refers to this as not from our civilization, has been disputed. But these documents were obtained in such a way that makes me think that they are legitimate, that they're real.
Now, when we come to the Roosevelt document that talks about acquiring technology and trying to come to grips with the concept that we might not be alone in the universe, there's no doubt that technology acquisition is something that governments and perhaps presidents have thought about in relation to UFOs.
The president's memo to a committee devoted to science and technology not of this earth suggests that our government was, in fact, in possession of otherworldly technology, and that Roosevelt knew far more about UFOs than he ever let on in public.
Throughout Roosevelt's administration, we know that Roosevelt employed very high security to keep the UFO phenomenon under wraps because it was as classified as the atomic bomb.
The trail of uncovered documents proves to researchers the shocking reality that recovered alien technology helped the U.S. build an atomic super weapon of war. But what will the next president do with this incredible government secret? Coming up.
It was the U.S. military that said, we've recovered a flying disc.
The evidence is in the form of some leaked documents called the MJ-12 documents.
Under President Franklin Delano Roosevelt, the first official government reports of UFO activity became top secret, including one about the interplanetary origin of aircraft in the Battle of LA. and another about a super weapon of war being developed with non-terrestrial know-how. When FDR dies in April 1945, those secrets were passed to Vice President Harry Truman, who assumes the presidency. And just 4 months later, Truman orders the dropping of the atomic bomb on Japan. A new superweapon of unearthly power that documents revealed was developed with technology not of this earth.
The modern UFO phenomenon really began during and in the few years immediately after the Second World War. Why, if there are extraterrestrial intelligences out there, did they suddenly show up during and just after the war? Firstly, we developed and used in anger nuclear weapons.
So that's a really good question that man asks. Why did these extraterrestrials suddenly show up during a time of war? Saturday, during our panel discussion at the camp meeting, Brother Craig asked Pastor Joel, why do these things seem to happen mostly with the military? Why are these crafts and these creatures revealing themselves primarily to the Navy, to the Air Force, to the Army, to NASA? And one of the reasons for that could well be that these fallen angels, they've come here to do battle. And it would appear that their military is looking to interact with our military. But suffice to say, World War II changed absolutely everything. During World War II, you had Adolf Hitler and the Nazis. Adolf Hitler was a type of antichrist. And not just because he was a wicked person, not just because he was a mean or a bad person. Adolf Hitler absolutely fulfilled, from a biblical perspective, now, we know he was not the Antichrist, but Adolf Hitler, absolutely as a type of Antichrist, was an amazing foreshadowing of the biblical Antichrist, who at this point is literally right around the corner. And Adolf Hitler caused World War II. World War II created the United Nations. World War II created the regathering of the nation of Israel. So if you look at Hitler from a biblical perspective, Hitler had, he got a whole bunch of stuff done, prophetically speaking. And after Hitler is gone off the scene, the floodgates are opened and all this other stuff begins to happen, including the rise of these fallen angel space alien Genesis 6 giants creatures. And all of that happened during World War II and after World War II.
And that would be very visible from space. So actually, if nothing else, it's an attention getter.
I think it's definitely likely that mastering nuclear technology is a milestone that would very likely get the attention of any observing intelligence that has the ability to watch us. I mean, a nuclear explosion is a kind of mimicking of the sun, particularly nuclear fusion, and that's an important threshold. So there definitely seems to be a connection there. And I think the explosions in Japan in 1945 could be said to have initiated this new level of interest.
Now, here's an interesting story. 1952. In 1952, flying saucers over Washington, D.C. sent the press corps into an absolute frenzy. Some of you may have heard about this story. Some of you may not have heard about this story. But in 1952, there was a visible sighting of UFOs over the nation's capital. And I'm reading this to you from history.com. If 1952 marked the year that UFO fever spread across Cold War America, events in late July of that year spiked that mania to critical levels. That's when the grandfather of all flying saucer sightings took place in the skies above the nation's capital, causing a coast-to-coast collective jaw drop. Over several weeks, up to a dozen unexplained objects repeatedly streaked across the skies over Washington, D.C., spotted not just by crackpots, but by radar operators, professional pilots, and other highly credible witnesses. The Air Force scrambled fighter jets, but the saucers outran them. Around the United States, sci-fi-like headlines blared, rumors flew, and sightings soared. When President Harry Truman quietly called for answers, a representative from the Air Force secret UFO investigation team, Project Blue Book, that's that same guy that worked with Steven Spielberg to create Close Encounters of the Third Kind, was summoned to Washington, D.C. But before anybody could fully probe the incidents, the Air Force hastily convened a press conference to quell the panic, blaming the entire thing on the weather. So here we see that in 1952, there was over a dozen visible daytime and nighttime sightings of flying saucers that was verified by radar operators, professional pilots, and other highly credible witnesses. So much so that the Air Force scrambled jet fighters to try and catch them, but they could not catch them. And then right when the Pentagon was backed into a corner and people were demanding answers, they held a press conference and they said the whole thing was a misunderstanding. It had to do with weather balloons and all this nonsense. Anybody who has ever seen a weather balloon and has ever seen a UFO, you would never, ever in a million years confuse those two things. I have only ever seen a UFO sighting one time, but it was a big one. And it took place right here in St. Augustine about 8 years ago. I was driving through downtown St. Augustine and I was getting ready to go over the Volano Bridge and I had to drive up to Jacksonville and I wanted to take the scenic route that day. And up in the sky was this enormous box-like thing. I really don't even know how to describe it, but it was really large. It was shaped like a flying box. It had no visible means of propulsion or anything like that. And it kept going in and out of the clouds. And right when I pulled over to take a picture, it sped away. But I followed this thing for about 10 to 12 minutes at high speeds in my vehicle. And that's the only time that I ever saw something that I could say, yes, that was a unidentified flying object that I saw with my own eyes. And it looked nothing like a weather balloon. And these people back in 1952, who saw a dozen different incursions of whatever these flying things were, these highly credible people, professional pilots, and then the military and the Pentagon decide to suddenly say it was all a misunderstanding, it was no identified flying objects, it was just a weather balloon. Now, we know that that's not true. We know that that is absolute nonsense. I played this clip last week, and a lot of people really appreciated it. I just want to play about 2 or 3 minutes of this clip from 60 Minutes. The Navy pilots describing encounters with UFOs. Take a listen.
We have tackled many strange stories on 60 Minutes, but perhaps none like this. It's the story of the U.S. government's grudging acknowledgement of unidentified aerial phenomena, UAP, more commonly known as UFOs. After decades of public denial, the Pentagon now admits there's something out there. And the U.S. Senate wants to know what it is. The Intelligence Committee.
So, you heard that guy say that after decades of denial, they finally admit that there is something out there. Well, that goes all the way back to 1952. That goes all the way back to 1947, when spacecrafts are literally crashing to the Earth and people are seeing them in broad daylight. And then the government starts to lie and lie and lie and lie. Well, here we are, flash forward about 70 plus years, and where do we find ourselves in the 21st century? Living in a time of great global deception, living in a time of global lockdowns, living in a time of global vaccinations, living in a time where vaccines that we don't even understand remotely how they work, that the people who make the vaccines describe them as software for an operating system, and that's being injected into the bodies of hundreds of millions of people. And it's during this time that the government finally decides that they're going to tell the truth. Isn't that an amazing coincidence?
He has ordered the Director of National Intelligence and the Secretary of Defense to deliver a report on the mysterious sightings by next month. So what you're telling me is that UFOs, unidentified flying objects, are real.
Bill, I think we're beyond that already. The government has already stated for the record that they're real. I'm not telling you that. The United States government is telling you that.
Luis Elizondo spent 20 years running military intelligence operations worldwide in Afghanistan, the Middle East, and Guantanamo. He hadn't given UFOs a second thought until 2008. That's when he was asked to join something at the Pentagon called the Advanced Aerospace Threat Identification Program, or ATIP.
The mission of ATIP was quite simple. It was to collect and analyze information involving anomalous aerial vehicles, what I guess in the vernacular you call them UFOs. We call them UAPs.
You know how this sounds. It sounds nutty, wacky.
Look, Bill, I'm not telling you that it doesn't sound wacky. What I'm telling you, it's real. The question is, what is it? What are its intentions? What are its capabilities?
Buried away in the Pentagon, ATIP was part of a $22 million program sponsored by then-Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid to investigate UFOs. When Elizondo took over in 2010, he focused on the national security implications of unidentified aerial phenomena documented by U.S. service members.
Imagine a technology that can do 600 to 700 G-forces, that can fly at 13,000 miles an hour, that it can evade radar, and that can fly through air and water and possibly space, and, oh, by the way, has no obvious signs of propulsion, no wings, no control surfaces, and yet still can defy the natural effects of Earth's gravity. That's precisely what we're seeing.
Elizondo tells us ATIP was a loose-knit mix of scientists, electro-optical engineers, avionics, and intelligence experts, often working part-time. They combed through data and records and analyzed videos like this. A Navy air crew struggles to lock onto a fast-moving object off the U.S. Atlantic coast in 2015. Recently released images may not convince UFO skeptics, but the Pentagon admits it doesn't know what in the world this is.
All right, we're going to stop that clip right there. We have breaking news about the UFOs. This just came across my desk. Let's take a listen to this. U.S. intelligence report on UFOs headed to Congress. Let's take a listen.
Former President Obama recently addressed the whole UFO question in a serious way recently. Here's what he said.
There's footage and records of objects in the skies that we don't know exactly what they are. We can't explain how they moved, their trajectory.
So, Jeremy, help give a little context to this. Why is it actually a pretty big deal that the government and the Department of Defense seemingly can't explain what these objects are, but are finally willing to talk about them?
Yeah, it's a sea change. It's a really interesting moment in American history where our government and intelligence agencies are addressing what's right in front of us, which is the presence of UFOs on planet Earth. Every president has been talking about this. Jimmy Kimmel is great, by the way. He does ask the hard questions. And even President George W. Bush was shown the first piece of imagery that I put out about a month ago, the pyramid-shaped UFOs. So now there's this openness to discussing. We might not know what they are, but we know what they're not. And when you're looking at this FLIR, forward-looking infrared footage, you see it's a spherical object. There's no plumes, no exhaust, no traditional propulsion that you could see in the thermal realm.
So let's talk about just sort of the realm of possibilities, because I think it's important that, it's, you know, we were joking about aliens, and that certainly is the possibility that there is a connection to extraterrestrial life. But there are also, you know, possibilities like this being technology that is being worked on covertly.
Well, let's talk about that. So just to give your audience a basic understanding, the U.S. Navy photographed and filmed pyramid-shaped UFOs and spherical advanced transmedium vehicles swarming our Navy warships. So this is an issue with the idea that you could have mid-air collisions, just basic safety. So I obtained and released that footage with my mentor in journalism, George Knapp. And all of this was unclassified, but it was directly confirmed by the Pentagon, which is really cool. So they're starting to talk about this. These are true unknowns. We don't know if this is from an adversarial foreign nation. We were pretty sure that it's not black budget programs within the United States, because nobody that runs those knows what this is. This appears to be, and it possibly is, a beyond next generation technology. So our Defense Department wants to know, who has this technology, which represents this massive quantum leap in understanding of propulsion? Who has it? What is their intent? Who's operating these vehicles? And so that's where we're at. And now finally, there's an openness that's been lacking for the last 75 years.
So why do you think the government is just now coming around to declassifying documents, revealing more to the public about what they've been observing all this time?
Yeah, look, they're being forced to. Our intelligence agencies and our politicians and congressmen and, you know, senators, they are beholden to the American public and the American will. They represent us. So this is actually something that is overdue, where the Senate Intelligence Committee is putting together this mandate to put a report about the UAP or UFO topic. So I think what we're seeing is finally representative government taking this issue seriously because of basic safety concerns and the threat that this could be a foreign adversarial nation. However, the technologies do appear to be far more advanced than anything ever displayed in the theater of war by any nation on planet Earth. So that's got to tell you something that this is exotic.
I will tell you, I've watched that footage so many times. It is just hypnotic. Jeremy, thank you so much.
So there you have it. That's Jeremy talking about the sea change that's taking place. And that's that paradigm shift that we were talking about earlier. Things are changing very quickly and very drastically. And we told you that back in 2019, the United States government, for whatever reason, just did a complete 180 shift. And they went from denying the presence of UFOs to telling you absolutely. And the most stunning part about that is they gave no explanation for the switch of their position. They, at no point did they reference the fact that they had been lying to the American public for over 75 years. In 2019, that was the year where they just said, hey, these things are real, and these videos that you're watching, we won't call them UFOs, but we'll call them unidentified aerial phenomenon. And they are absolutely real, and it's absolutely happening. And in the 2 years, the 2.5 years since we did that article about the government's unexplained and sudden switch from 3/4 of a century of denying to now saying, well, absolutely, these things are true. How could they not be? And they never, ever explained the switch of their position. And I don't think that they're going to, because in order for them to explain the switch, they would have to admit deception. Luke 21, verses 25 through 28 say, and there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming upon the earth. For the powers of heaven shall be shaken, and then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. That's what they're going to be seeing at the end of the Great Tribulation. They're going to see Jesus coming in the clouds. But if you wind that clock back 7 years to just after the pre-tribulation rapture of the church, that also is going to be a time of angelic and heavenly deception. Remember what 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 says, and for this cause, what cause? They rejected the clear preaching of the gospel of the grace of God. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they might all be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Now, that strong delusion is the opening of the first seal. And I saw what Revelation 6:1. And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, come and see. And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. That is a supernatural event that takes place with the opening of the first seal. When Jesus takes the seven sealed book in Genesis chapter Revelation chapter 5, Revelation chapter 5, verse 3. Oh, verse 1, Revelation 5, 1. And I saw on the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? This is a supernatural book. This is taking place in heaven, one chapter after the pre-tribulation rapture of the church. And verse 3 says, and no man in heaven nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders saith unto me, weep not, behold, for the Lion of the tribe of Judah, that's Jesus Christ, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. You have to remember that this is a spiritual book. These seals are spiritual seals. When the first seal opens, what do we see? We see a rider on a white horse with a bow with no arrows who's wearing a single crown. And he goes forth conquering and to conquer. He conquers with peace and then he conquers with war, which is exactly what Adolf Hitler did. Adolf Hitler is a perfect type of Antichrist in over seven particulars. The second seal, Revelation 6, 3 and 4. And when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, come and see. And there went out another horse that was red, and power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, that they should kill one another, and there was given unto him a great sword. This is a spiritual horse. This is a spiritual sword. But you have to remember that these spiritual things are going to interact visibly and physically with human beings on the face of the earth. Do you remember in the Old Testament when God sent a chariot to pick up the prophet Elijah? And Elijah stood there by the riverbank and Elisha watched. And God sent a chariot to pick up the prophet Elijah. Elijah was a flesh and bones, a flesh and blood human being. The chariot that God sent was a spiritual chariot. But Elijah was able to get inside a spiritual chariot, sit down, and have it take him all the way to the third heaven where God is. So you have to understand one thing, is when we say that something is spiritual in the Bible, we are not spiritizing it and reducing it to a metaphor or reducing it to a type or an illustration. But we understand in the Bible that spiritual phenomena can interact with flesh and blood human beings. And that's exactly when these things begin to come to pass, in the book of Revelation, we see things that are spiritual taking place in the visible, in the physical, and just like it was in the Old Testament, just like it was in the beginning part of the early church age, we are once again going to see spiritual phenomena interacting with physical phenomena. And that's how it's going to go, because that's the pattern that the Bible gives us. In Revelation chapter 9, turn to Revelation chapter 9, and it says this in verses 20-21. Watch out for the verses 20-21. Revelation 9, 20 and 21. And the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues, yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk, neither repented they of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornication, nor of their thefts. Revelation 9:21, they didn't repent of their sorceries. That is the Greek word pharmakia. Pharmacy, medicine, drugs. This is why there is such a push to get the mRNA, the messenger RNA vaccine inside people's bodies. Perhaps that one of the things when they turn the switch and they turn it on, maybe one of the things that's going to take place is it's going to allow the people who have received the vaccine to see things that aren't there or to see things that are invisible. I don't know what it's going to be, but I know it's going to be something. This is the testimony and the record of your King James Bible. This is why that we are such sticklers about King James only. Cher is asking, if the Pope is ready to baptize these things, would this scripture apply to what they are going to preach? Galatians 1:8, but though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than that we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Absolutely right. The Bible said, no marvel. Bible says, it is no marvel that Satan and his ministers, 2 Corinthians 11:14, and no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing that if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. So, in the time of Jacob's trouble, and I believe in the days leading up to that. Remember, Matthew chapter 24 says, as it was in the days of Noah. And I showed you last time how the days of Noah do not start in Genesis chapter 6. The days of Noah start in Genesis chapter 5. Matthew 24:38. For as in the days that were before the flood, that's chapter 5, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark. And Enoch, I believe, got to see a little bit of this activity before he was removed in a one-person rapture. And I believe in much the same way, we are going to get just a little bit of a preview, just a little bit of a foretaste of all this angelic activity. And is it possible that an angel is going to be preaching during the tribulation? Yes, absolutely right. And I will say this, people living, if you're hearing this message and you're living in the time of the Great Tribulation, you've got to watch out for angels that are preaching who are Satan's angels. But Revelation chapter 14, verses 6 and 7 show this. Revelation 14, verses 6 and 7. And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people, saying with a loud voice, Fear God, and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is come, and worship him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of waters. So, Paul says that Satan and his ministers can be angels of light. Revelation says that there will be an angel sent not by Satan, but by God, who is going to preach something called the everlasting gospel. And I just read that to you from Revelation 14, verses 6 and 7. And with that, unfortunately, we've come to the end of our time today. As I promised you earlier, I will be getting ready in just a few minutes to post an article with lots of pictures and video from the great time that we had this past weekend with the NTEB camp meeting. And it was so great meeting everybody, meeting Dana and Marie and Charlton and Chris and just everybody. And we are so thrilled that you guys came to spend the weekend with us. And thank you so much for everybody for praying. Your prayers were absolutely answered. I also want to pray. I want to pray for Lulu, who's not feeling well today. I want to lift her up to the Lord and ask God to give her a healing. I want to pray for my landlord, Beth, who had the surgery. And many of you have been asking because we've been praying for Beth for a couple of weeks. Praise report. They got the cancer in time and they removed it last week. So let's pray that Beth have a full healing and that she gets saved. And I want to pray for my friend Jacqueline living out west. And she has a very important court date tomorrow regarding custody of her children. So Lord, we come before you. We thank you for this time. We pray for Lulu and Beth and Jacqueline. Lord, meet all those needs different as they may be. But work and move as only you can. Order and reorder their steps. Give Lulu a healing. Give Jacqueline a victory. And we ask you to save Beth, Lord, and bring her into the family of God. And Father God, we thank you that you've made us a praying people who are dependent on our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we just thank you and praise you, God. And please watch over Lori and Haley and Liam and get them back home safely to the great state of Maine. And it was such a blessing getting to meet them and see them this weekend too. Thank you, Lord, for everything you do. And we commit all these prayers to you and the unspoken prayers of our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you so much for tuning in, everybody. Glad we are back online. Glad we got things going. And so glad that God showed up this weekend. And it was really such an amazing blessing. Have a great day, everybody. Joshua fit the battle around Jericho, Jericho, around Jericho. Joshua fit the battle around Jericho, and the walls come tumbling down. Good morning, Sister Mary. Good morning, Brother John. Well, I want to stop and talk with you and tell you how I come along. I know you've heard about Joshua. He was the son of Nun. He never stopped his work until the work was done. He got no fit. Joshua fit the battle around Jericho, Jericho, Jericho. Joshua fit the battle around Jericho, and the walls come tumbling down. You may talk about your men of Gideon, you may brag about your men of Saul. There's no like good old Joshua at the battle of Jericho. Up to the walls of Jericho, he marched with spear in hand. Go blow them around, the Joshua cried, cause the battle I'm in my hand. I got no sin. Joshua fit the battle around Jericho, Jericho, Jericho. Joshua fit the battle around Jericho, and the walls come tumbling down. You may talk about your men of Gideon, you may brag about the king of Saul. There's none like
Joshua at the Battle of Jericho. They tell my great God that Joshua's spear was well nigh 12 feet long, and upon his hip was a double-edged sword, and his mouth was a gospel horn. He had bold and brave, he stood salvation in his hand. Oh, blow them around on the Joshua crack, cause the devil can't do you no harm. Got no then Joshua fit to battle around Jericho, Jericho, Jericho. Joshua fit to battle around Jericho, and the walls come tumbling down. Then up to the walls of Jericho he marched with spear in hand. Oh, blow them around the Joshua crack, cause the battle I'm in my hand. Then the lamb round sheep horns began to blow, the trumpets began to sound. Old Joshua shouted glory, and the walls come tumbling down. The God knows and Joshua fit to battle around Jericho, Jericho, Jericho. Joshua fit to battle around Jericho, and the walls came tumbling down, 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 down.